Going Linux, episode 169, Computer America, number 48. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Tom. Whether you're new to Linux, moving from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about upgrading to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in Going Linux.
We hope that you'll find this and all of our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done.
In today's episode, Computer America.
You're listening to Computer America.
Hello and welcome into the Computer America show. It's the nation's longest running, nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers. It's Tuesday, the 20th of March, 2012, and I'm your host, Craig Crossman.
And I'm your co-host, Ben.
And welcome into a Tuesday edition of the Computer America show. You know, it's amazing. You know, we come on, boop, everything is fine. But, you know, listeners don't realize, like, 3 minutes before it was a total panic.
The panic was in your head, Mr. Crossman.
Yes, it was. Okay.
There was no fire in the theater. There was just fire in Craig's mind.
Well, you know, I mean, the volume wasn't working.
No. The volume was working.
Yeah.
You forgot to turn it up.
Yes. Well, but it's not a question I forgot. I didn't realize that it was turned down.
I thought those two were synonymous.
No, not really.
Okay.
Okay. But the computer has...
There are things that go wrong before the show, but yes. We pull it off. This was not one of those times.
Yes. The computer has a general volume control, which is independent of Skype's control and independent of all the other volumes. And what happened is that the system volume... was turned down to less than half power.
When you realize that you have low volume, normal people check the volume levels.
Well, there are many different volume levels to check, and I checked two of them, and they were up. But there's a third one, which I did not bother, which is so rarely turned down. I didn't bother to check that one, and then I finally checked it, and I realized at that point. But there were like three different volume levels on this computer between all the different applications that are running to make this happen. And then one of them is the system volume, which we never ever check because that never ever changes. But it did change, and I went ahead and brought that back up, and then everything is back to where it's supposed to be. Because we'll talk about.
So I guess lesson learned.
Lesson learned. Yeah. Well, one of the things now I need to check is the master system volume. Make sure that's all the way up because it wasn't. Okay. Well, it is the third Tuesday of the month, and what does that mean, Ben?
Free ice cream at Sanchez Ice Cream.
How did you know?
Because I keep my ice cream very serious.
And also, besides the free ice cream, there's more. Actually, every third Tuesday of the month, we devote the entire show to the subject of Linux. Because Linux is an important operating system, you know, and it's becoming extremely popular. As a matter of fact, your brother uses Linux and is enjoying it
exclusively.
And, yes, he's not going back to Windows at all, as far as I can tell. He's just using it. Yeah, he loves it, and he's.
Oh, he is going back to Windows, but Linux does not need installation CDs.
No, okay.
Well, Windows does.
Yes, I see. And if you have a Linux question, by of course tonight's going to be the night for you to give us a call. Now, joining us is our Linux expert, Larry Bushy. Larry is the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. Larry, welcome into Computer America. How are you?
Well, you know, if you hadn't said anything about computer problems, no one would have known.
That's right. That's very true. The perception is that we're just doing the show and people don't realize it. Well, we got a little bit of a panic thing here. You heard what happened. Larry was there and poof, he was gone and now he's back. So
yeah, now we're back to Panicville.
Okay. Well, so welcome to the show. Yeah, here you are. Welcome to the show. And again, it's all about Linux and more Linux. And of course, we're going to have a general theme or a general topic, but we also have a couple of emails that we'll get to and comments. But if you want to get in on the action, you have questions about the Linux operating system, you use Linux, you're thinking about using Linux, installing it, uninstalling it, whatever you want to know about Linux, this is the night for you to get your questions answered. Now, the way you can reach us, it's real simple. You pick up the phone and give us a call. The number is toll-free. It's 866 866-606-TALK. 866-606-8255. That number will get you on, and it will get you through. We also have a special email inbox when we're live and on the air. It is live, L-I-V-E, at computeramerica.com. So I always ask Larry to come up with a general topic that we can start talking about for the first hour. So,
and at first he chose dinosaurs, but apply.
Yeah, they don't run on Linux. All right, so the topic for this month, tonight, is finding the right Linux distribution. For you, I guess, right? Finding the right Linux distribution, you know.
Well, you could find one for me, but it wouldn't help you out much.
Well, I could, yes. You're absolutely right. And there are quite a number of them, and all of them have different characteristics, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Now, before we get started, I received an email a number of days ago from a listener who had a question, and I thought we should probably address that question real fast because I think it actually goes to the heart of what it is we do on these types of shows. And, you know, because we're talking about Linux this, Linux that. This is from Tim Hoy, who writes to us. And the subject of this email is why Linux? Now, he spells Linux L-E-N-I-X, which sets up a red flag already that something is wrong. Mm-hmm. Or he's not very knowledgeable, and it's very short and very succinct. He actually it's sent from his iPhone, so he sent this. So he was listening to this either on the radio when he sent it. He says, "Please, 1 minute explanation of what it is and why." So there it is. So he has absolutely no idea what Linux is. You know, he's asking just a 1 minute explanation of what it is and why. So, I mean, you know, let's
so I guess Larry, oversimplify it.
Yeah, really. But you know, we shouldn't oversimplify because a lot of people out there just don't know what it is. And you know, we talk about it. So, why don't you kind of give us an overview of what Linux is? Because it's been a while since we've done that, and I think this email is timely. We should probably take a moment and actually address this, and so Tim can hear about it. So,
right.
So Larry, why don't you just give us an overview of Linux?
Well, Linux is first and foremost an operating system. And what's an operating system? Well, on most computers sold today, the operating system that's provided is Windows. Maybe Windows 7, maybe some other version of Windows, but it's Windows.
Or Mac,
and
OS X.
Well, up and coming is certainly Mac, and Mac OS X is the current version of the Mac operating system, and that's available on Mac computers only. Mm-hmm. Linux is another operating system, probably the third most popular kind of operating system out there for home computers and servers, and it is available to run on both hardware platforms, hardware that will run Windows and hardware that will run Mac software. So with that out of the way, it's simply an operating system. It's the thing that runs your computer that your software runs on top of. Mm. Now, why would you want to use Linux, especially since the computer you just bought came with a nice operating system that works just fine? Mm-hmm. Well, many people, especially those people using Windows, will find that after a period of time, their machine doesn't work quite so well, mainly because they will have gotten viruses or malware. It's very easy to get Windows viruses and malware off of the internet if you're not careful, and sometimes even when you are careful. Mm-hmm. And like the Mac, Linux is not affected by Windows viruses and malware. Not to say there won't be any Linux malware and viruses out there. There aren't any out there in the wild currently, but it's not a system that's susceptible to viruses and spyware and other kinds of malware in the mm-hmm. same way that Windows is, much like Mac is not susceptible to those infections mm-hmm. either. Mm-hmm. Another reason why you would want to use Linux is, well, you have a vast software repository that's much like the Mac App Store for Linux, where everything is free, or almost everything is free in terms of applications. And when you install those applications, there's no rebooting of your computer. You can use them right away. And last but not least, Linux is licensed so that you can install it on as many computers as you like without violating any license agreement. You can modify the Linux operating system or most of its applications as well to suit your needs without violating any license agreements. And you can share it with all of your friends, again, without violating any license agreements. So it's free to redistribute, but it's also free of charge.
That's the last thing. It's for the most part, it's a totally free operating system. You can buy distributions of it, but when you're buying the distribution of it, you're also buying support of some sort. You know, if you want someone you can call for help, but primarily still the operating system is free.
It is, and even though it's free, it is a totally modern operating system.
Oh, yeah.
It's based on the Unix, the original Unix, which is what many mainframe computers ran before there were mini computers and microcomputers and laptop computers. Unix was a base, and still is in many servers, a base operating system that has served well for many years. And both the Mac operating system and Linux are based on Unix. And there are other varieties of operating systems like BSD and so on that are also based on Unix. So it's got a good, solid history. And any of the more recent Linux distributions that you could acquire for yourself and install on your computer are very, very modern, very up-to-date software that rivals anything out there in the commercial world. And as you mentioned, your son Aaron uses Linux exclusively, as do I, as do many people. So it's definitely something that if you haven't looked at, you should.
There you go. So, Tim, hopefully that answers your questions about the Linux operating system and why you might want to consider giving it a try. Again, you can put it on. You can take it off if you don't like it. You can put it on without endangering anything. It's easy to install. You can run it from a CD if you want to. If you don't want to put anything on your computer, you can do that as well.
That's a very popular way to try out Linux.
Yeah. So you're not burning any. You're not burning any bridges when you try it. You can always go back. That's basically what it is. It is an alternative operating system for the personal computer. Windows is number one. Mac OS X is also an extremely popular one. It's usually considered to be number two, and in popularity. And Linux brings up the third alternative that you can try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. And that kind of brings us to our topic tonight, which is the fact that there isn't just one Linux. There are various types of Linux.
Yeah.
They are called distributions of Linux because they are distributed to you by their developers. And there are many different configurations that you can take your Linux machine and you can reconfigure it to do just about anything you like. But many of these distributions are prepackaged with software applications or configured so that they serve a particular purpose. And we can talk more about that and how to choose the right one for you after we come back.
All right. This is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network. 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number. Larry Bushy continues on with us. He's our Linux expert. It's all about Linux for both hours tonight here on the Computer America Show. Stay with us. We will be right back.
Welcome back to the Computer America Show. Larry Bushy is still with us, and it's our Going Linux show. And I know we Craig brought up that email, and we were supposed to give a 1 minute explanation for Linux, which turned into a one segment, which is great.
Yeah.
But now I think it's time to actually get to the reason why, or at least the main topic for the night, which is choosing the right operating system. And I'm kind of interested about this because, I've looked a little bit into Linux. I'll admit, not as much as I promised some people I would, but the only ones I really know are Ubuntu and Mint. I think are the only real distributions that I actually know. So, you know, I'm kind of curious about what other ones are out there.
Okay. Well, what I have brought with me are three links to choosers, Linux choosers, or tools that you can use to put some information in about how you want to use a computer or how you do use a computer. Mm-hmm. And it will come up with a recommendation as to which Linux distribution you should try first, or maybe even a list of them. And I brought three of them because each of these three takes a little different spin on trying to figure out what distribution is right for you. The first one is Linux Chooser, linux-chooser.com. And I like this one because it's got a nice graphical representation of what you're doing, and it doesn't take 12 minutes to figure out all the answers to the questions. They're pretty simple. So it asks you, are you a home user? Are you going to use it for work, or are you going to use it on a server? So it'll come up with some recommendations mm-hmm. based on answers to those things. So I'm going to click on home. It then asks, are you a first-time user, some experience? I can manage my way around it. I can do anything, for I am root. Or disregard my experience level and show distros only based on my choices below. So it gives you a lot of flexibility here. I'm going to put in, I can manage my way around it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to admit to being any sort of expert on this. Mm-hmm. Specific uses. So now, a series of checkbox. General use. Gaming. No, I'm not going to use it for gaming. Media editing. Well, sure, I do that all the time. Home theater. Not on my computer. Workstation. Sure. Sandbox, testing machine, no. Files and storage, yes. Always.
Yeah.
Web, yeah. Security, no, I'm not a security expert. I'm not going to use it for security. Applications, sure. Cloud, yes. Virtualization, yeah, I'm going to use that as well. Okay, so now two more questions to go. So this one's asking you software and desktop interface. Now, this is where some people might get a little bit lost. It says amount of available software out of the box. Okay, you can only the basics, general all-around usage, loads of software, or it doesn't matter. Well, I'm going to say I want loads of software. I'm the kind of person that likes trying things out. And if I'm going to try out Linux, that's what I'm going to try out. It's not okay. only Linux, but the applications. Now, GNOME, KDE, XFCE, or other. Who knows? So leave them all checked, or it doesn't matter. I'm going to select GNOME because that's the one that I know I like. I've tried Linux before. I know I like GNOME, so I'm going to select that one. 64-bit, yeah, my machine is 64-bit. Multiprocessing.
Well, I have to stop you here. If you select GNOME, are you saying that you already know that you want the distribution that you want? So why are you doing this in the first place?
Well, maybe you've tried out a distribution, and you've tried out GNOME and KDE and maybe some of the others, and you know based on your experience you like GNOME, but you're trying to decide
something
which
else
is the
okay.
right distribution.
Right. Okay, okay.
So that's kind of what I'm assuming.
So it's asking you if you've tried any other distributions before.
Yeah, kind of.
Sort of,
yeah.
Okay, all right.
And if you haven't, then leave them all checked because
yeah.
it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Okay, so I have a 64-bit machine, so I'm going to check that. Multiprocessing, I don't really use that. Graphical power, sure, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Live CD, yeah, okay, we'll want live CD. Lightweight, no, not necessarily. I've got a pretty beefy machine. It needs to run on a netbook, nope. Include commercial non-free distributions? Sure. Non-free being free as in freedom, not free as in
right.
paid for.
Got
okay.
Mm-hmm.
For educational purposes, no. Okay. Mm-hmm. So
low sodium, no carbs.
Yeah, no carbs, yes.
And low sodium,
all
yes.
right. Would you like fries with that?
Yes.
Okay. So that's it for this one. Nice and simple, straightforward. Mm-hmm. Click on the button that says Show Linux Distros. And
Mac OS 10 comes up.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so mine shows, based on those answers, that Debian and Red Hat. are the ones for me.
Debian and Red Hat. Okay.
Yeah, the two distributions that many other distributions are based on. So, go figure.
So Red Hat really is a very popular one?
Yes, it is. It's one of the most popular. It's been around a long time. It's the one that most corporations would use if they're going to use Linux.
But does Red Hat charge for its distribution?
They charge businesses.
Yeah.
And they would charge you if you wanted a full license of Red Hat as well as an individual. But there are other distributions that are based on Red Hat that are free of charge, like Fedora. Uh-huh. And CentOS is one that is exactly like Red Hat without the Red Hat branding. Hmm. And they just strip out all the Red Hat brand name stuff and provide it free of charge.
There you go. And Red Hat doesn't get upset about that.
Well, they work together on it. So they actually use Fedora as their as kind of a development environment. So it's given away for free, and it's got more up-to-date packages than Red Hat itself, because Red Hat is meant to be a stable distribution that you can use for running servers on, and server people want to have their distribution very, very stable, not bleeding edge.
Yeah.
Whereas Fedora uses more up-to-date packages, and so as users of Fedora find problems and they fix them, those fixes would go back into Red Hat as a stable package. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's kind of it. So that one's nice and simple. The next one I like as well, and it's a little more involved and a little more difficult to navigate, and it gives you different choices. I mean, it gives you different results, even if you put in similar sorts of parameters. And one of the reasons is because they're using their own little decision tree, if you will, trying to figure out which is the best one based on the responses you give, and the questions are different, and the set of Linux distributions that they're prepared to offer you may be different as well. So on this one, this is Zgenie Studios, Zgenie Studios.net, and they have a /LDC, Linux Distribution Chooser. And when you walk through that, you select your language, and then you answer questions a couple of pages at a time here. Do you know what a Linux distribution is? Mm-hmm. Is the first question. Have you successfully installed a Linux operating system before? Mm-hmm. And so they're trying to judge your experience based on those kind of questions rather than, have you used Linux before?
Now, Slicky in the chat room makes a comment. He says it's too pure for people starting out, I believe. What does he mean by too pure? What's he saying?
Yeah, so because I entered in that I have had some experience in some of the other answers that recommended Debian based on that, but I agree that Debian is a little more advanced. It is not designed for the newbie. It's designed as a fully functional, stable operating system. Mm-hmm. And it may not have some of the niceties that the average Mac or Windows user have come to expect in the way of things to walk you through managing your computer, like a graphical network setup for setting up your network card or your wireless, or an installation utility that is fully graphical and has a software store and presents things like the Mac App Store or iTunes would, for example. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of other technical things that Debian gets involved with that don't have all the basic user or inexperienced user experience eye candy and niceties on top of it.
Okay. Well, these are things to keep in mind. So we're going to continue on with Larry's analysis of how to select the right Linux distribution for you. And starting off with this website, and we'll continue on with them after these commercial messages. You're listening to the Computer America Show. Stay with us. It is the third Tuesday of the month. Larry Bushy is the host of the Going Linux podcast and creator of the podcast, and we're talking about Linux for both hours, and we're kind of talking about the general topic, which is finding the right Linux distribution. So we continue on, Larry. I know we're up against the break.
Sure. Well, like I said, I have three different choosers that you can walk through and go through all three and see what you think and see if they come up with the same recommendation or mm-hmm. a different recommendation. Like I said, each one asks a little different questions. And if you find out that all three recommend the same one, that's probably the one for you. And if not, give them a try. I mean, you don't have to install them. You can try them from a live CD, and they all work just wonderfully. Mm-hmm. You'll find with the last one, the selectsmart.com chooser that is written by someone, what's the guy's name? I've forgotten the guy's name. Jaluk or something like that. Mm-hmm. It is a series of radio buttons. Basically, you just answer yes or no or not sure to most of these questions. And some of them kind of assume that you know what's going on with Linux to begin with. So, like, do you prefer a GUI over a CLI? Well, if you're new to Linux, uh-huh. you may not even know what either of those is.
Right.
So there's a not sure there. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And let's see. I'm going to leave everything selected at not sure and click on view. I haven't tried this. Click on view results. Mm-hmm. And it says Arch Linux. I don't think so. So these aren't infallible by any stretch, mm-hmm. but kind of interesting to go through at least, and at the very least you get an idea of some of the more popular Linux distributions out there, and giving a try to any one of them is not a bad idea. Of course, if you really want to know which recommendation would be, or which Linux distribution would be recommended for you, you can always send me an email and I'll make a recommendation. And generally speaking, for brand new people to Linux, even if you're coming over from the Mac and you're a Mac expert or you're a Windows expert, I'd suggest Linux Mint or Ubuntu, because those are first the couple of the most popular ones, mm-hmm. Designed to be Linux newbie friendly, and designed to be familiar to people moving over from other operating systems. But those by far are not the only ones that are out there, and there are plenty of other very, very good ones. Mm-hmm. And last but not least, just because they are billed as newbie distributions doesn't mean they're less powerful or less capable than any of the others, because they're all Linux. They're all based on Linux. It's just a matter of what's configured out of the box for you to use. Mm-hmm. And Linux Mint and Ubuntu do a great job of giving most users, most computer users, what they're looking for right from the start. And they both have a very good support community behind them, so you can get on the Linux Mint forums or the Ubuntu forums, ask a question. You can, don't need to be intimidated. People will help you right yeah. away. Very helpful.
Those forums, of course, assume that you can use your version distribution of Linux to get onto the forums, and it's operating. I guess,
well, you can go onto the forums from a Mac or from Windows computer as well.
Exactly. All right. Now, are all the support forums basically you have to, you know, it's like a just something online, or are there phone numbers that you have to talk to a live person?
No, there aren't really any phone numbers unless you pay for support, and there you would be looking at something like Red Hat or OpenSUSE or SUSE Linux, rather, to mm-hmm. If you're paying for support. But generally speaking, you need to go online, open a browser, type in Linux Mint forums in your Google search, and you'll find it, or you'll find...
How about live chats? Forums.
Live chats?
Yeah.
Not so much. Most of it is on the forums is mostly where the support is, primarily because if you have a question, you really do need to explain it. And oftentimes, if it's a very technical issue, like trying to get your webcam to work or something, maybe there's a bad driver and they need you to, you know, do a little diagnostics, and you can paste the results of some of that into a forum. Whereas with the live chat, typically they're not going to have a lot of time to spend with you, first of all, because it's a live person, and in a forum, you get the benefit of multiple people looking at your problem, and you'll come up with the solution typically a little bit quicker because you've got multiple eyes looking at the problem, and the first person may overlook something in your description that the second person picks up on, and that's your solution.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. All right. Well, so I think hopefully now you have an idea of how to approach the problem. You are getting ready to go to Linux. You're not sure which distribution to use. We've made some excellent – Larry has made some excellent recommendations, things for you to try, websites to go to, forums where you can get help if you need it. In setting up the distribution or just using it in general. They're all excellent. And so when we come back, we're now going to move to the next phase of our All Linux show and go to emails that people have written in with questions that we're going to attempt to answer. And we kind of go through them and we pick some of the choicest ones that we think will benefit the most people. We're going to do that after your local and national news. Coming back with another hour of Computer America. Stay with us.
You're listening to Computer America. Computers run the world, and we run computers. Call us toll-free, 866-606-TALK. That's 866-606-TALK. Or send us an email to live@computeramerica.com.
Hello and welcome into hour two of the nation's longest-running, nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers. This is the Computer America Show, and I'm your host, Craig Crossman.
And I'm your co-host, Ben.
And we continue on with our All Linux Show. That's right, it's the third Tuesday of the month, and that means it's all about Linux, Linux, and more Linux. Okay, and welcome back to the Computer America Show. A little evil laugh in the background, and our guest, of course, is Larry Bushy. He is the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. Welcome back, Larry. And so we're going to continue on now in this hour. We're going to, as we typically do on our All Linux shows, Larry provides to us. We get emails, and Larry gets emails that we think will be of help to the most listeners. Larry uses his editorial discretion and selects the ones that he thinks will be of most help, and we are going to read them on the show for you and then answer them. Now, this first one comes all the way from Finland. The name is Nico from Finland.
Right. And Nico made some comments on a rather old podcast. We have listeners who go back all the way to episode one and listen to all of the episodes from one through to the current one, and we're on 168.
That's, so that's a lot of podcast
listening.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You must really like Linux.
Yeah. So this is from an older one. It's a recent email, but from an older episode. Mm-hmm. He writes, "Hello from Finland. I am a new Linux user and must say your great podcast has been really great help in learning how to use the system. Thank you very, very much. I just have one concern that I would like to mention." There's always a but.
Yeah, there, always, there is. It's just your perfect but.
But. Yeah. All right. He says, "I have been listening to numerous episodes from the archives, and today I stumbled on something that I found a bit strange and maybe even a bit shocking." Oh. That may be a little too strong a word, but anyway, I was listening to episode 76, Linux File System Introduction. a great and informative show, where you talked in the beginning of the show very briefly about something called Hannah Montana Linux. Yes, there is a Hannah Montana distribution of Linux, believe it or not.
All right.
Well, now it's a serious operating system. Who can deny its credibility?
Yeah, that's right.
That's true. So Nico continues, if I understood correctly, you had found out that this that the live CD had some sort of advice that said that users should try to type some commands on the command line to see something cool, and the commands would actually wipe out everything on the computer.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's not what I found so shocking. The shocking thing was that even though you had found the live CD to be potentially harmful, you still have the link to the site where one can download the live CD.
Wow.
So
I'm shocked.
Yeah, well, it's true. We do. So my question is, I knew there was a question in here somewhere. Why have you included a link to a site that offers a potential malware for download? You should, or should you, maybe delete the link and at least include some kind of warning text in there. Well, I really don't even know if the link leads to anywhere anymore since it's from 2009, but just wanted to ask about it. Sorry about my bad English. I hope it's not too terrible to read, Nico. And Nico, no, your English was
very good,
quite fine, better than some people who speak it natively.
Yes.
So don't worry about that. So this Hannah Montana Linux, apparently, and my co-host Tom did the research on this one, reluctantly and, with a lot of complaining, he did the research on this one, but what he found was that one of Hannah Montana's songs, so this is in a song, some of the lyrics, if you listen closely and you transcribe them directly into a command on the Linux command line, there's a lot of ifs in there.
Yeah.
You would delete, it's a wipe out everything command, essentially.
You're telling me that in a Hannah Montana song, she actually sings a series of commands in Linux that if you type them in, it's going to delete it?
Exactly. And so we did create a link to the distribution on our website in episode 76, primarily for this reason. For teenage girls interested in Hannah Montana, or teenage anybody else interested in Hannah Montana, or 45-year-old men, whatever. No, let's not go down that route. The distribution provides, it's essentially Ubuntu with purple and pink wallpaper and stuff like that. It does provide something that would be of interest to people who are interested in Hannah Montana. So we thought it would be fine. And
so you're saying it doesn't delete
the lyrics to the song are there. We mentioned it on the show, and quite frankly, if you're listening to the show, you would have heard our warning about the distribution.
What was she saying? What are the words?
Well, the command is an RF, which is a delete command. Excuse me, RM-RF, which is remove, is the RM command, and the dash RF is do it recursively and force if you find any problems.
Kids will listen to anything nowadays.
I'm having difficulty understanding. You mean she actually sings the words RM-RF? She sings that?
Yeah, she sings it in the song that's on the CD.
Are those actual commands, did they program it so that these lyrics would be the commands?
No. It's a standard Unix command. And go to your brother's computer and type it in.
You would love that.
He will never forgive you.
If you play the Beatles record song backwards, you can hear a message too. Exactly. I mean, this is up with that. You know, why would you do
exactly
that?
Exactly right.
Well, yeah. Why would you do that?
I noticed three people dropped off the chat room. They might have just tried that.
Good grief.
I don't understand why it was in there, and you had to listen very closely to pick it up. But apparently someone did.
And I guess I'm sure there were some lawsuits over it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there you go.
Jack in the chat room just asked if Linux could delete Hannah Montana. It's not that powerful.
I don't know about that, but I suppose using that command, Hannah Montana could delete Hannah Montana Linux.
Okay. Well, moving right along.
Moving right along.
Exactly. Let's because we're coming up close to the break. So this is really true. He went back to episode 70. What was it? 79
or
76. Yeah. Found this, which came out what year? How many years ago was that?
2009.
So 3 years ago, found this, pointed it out, and so we're raising about that Hannah Montana actually sang a song, and the lyrics were the commands to delete files in Linux.
Yes.
Hannah Montana appeals to little, 12, 9, 8-year-old girls who would never would have a tough time, what Linux is, or a computer for that matter, Why is she singing this? I have no idea.
Maybe
in the right audience. It's hilarious. In her circle, this is a shout-out.
It could be.
Wow.
Did you ever think on a Computer America show you'd be talking about Hannah Montana?
Yeah.
Oh, we've done worse things lately.
Well, now that she's Miley Cyrus, I guess.
I think the other night we were talking about kneecapping people.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, whole different school of thought on that.
Yes, it is. He's spending too many hours on his gaming computer. Hey, listen, we're going to take a break and continue on. Lots more emails coming up. This is Computer America. Stay with us. Twenty-one minutes after the hour here in the Computer America show. I was going to come back with a Hannah Montana song, but
you couldn't find a good one, could you?
No, I didn't know what the title of that song was going to be. Yeah, maybe we can find, if you can find what the title of the song is, I'm gonna in the next break I'll come back.
I'm busy. I'll
name any songs from Hannah Montana.
Ben will find it. He's good at that. He will find that song. So
it may have been one that she put on that CD, on that Linux CD, just for that. So it may not be one that was published, but whatever.
All right, so let's go to Annie S. She has a problem with her Compaq laptop. So let's go to this.
Yes, she has. So Annie writes, "Hello, Larry and Tom." Tom being my co-host, or now one of my co-hosts, the other being Bill. And I had an email from somebody who abbreviated the initials BLT. So Annie writes, "Hello, Larry and Tom. I just wanted to drop you a line to say thank you." Thank you in all caps, for a great podcast. I subscribed to your podcast hoping to learn about Linux, and here I am 2 weeks later having heard your first 38 shows, another one, going back to episode one, installed Ubuntu 11.10 on my old Compaq laptop, not working great, details here. So she gives a link to a forum post. So she went to the Ubuntu forum to try to get some help, and I took a look at that forum post. And she continues, "And also as a virtual machine on my more recent Asus laptop. And that's working perfectly, so I can do step-by-step tutorials. I'm mostly a Windows user at work, but I listened to you on an iPhone. Yeah. And over the years, I've tried lots of different machines, NetWare, UnixWare, OS2, Newton, even DR-DOS, without ever becoming proficient at any of them. But this time, I need to get pretty good at it, so I downloaded several Linux-related shows to get my feet wet, and yours is my favorite by a mile. Informative, step-by-step, exhaustive show notes. You never sound like you're talking down to the listeners, and you're very good at building confidence. Today I listened to show number 38, Intro to the Command Line. I learned so much, and I finally understand why people love Linux. No, it's not all the silly names, and it's that it can do so many things that are a huge pain in the Windows, and... Or a huge pain in Windows. Okay, I was reading into it. And it runs and runs and runs. Even that laptop that only boots on recovery mode, and even then, one out of every 50 attempts, it's been up for a couple of days. I know because I did uptime enter at the command line with no problem. So thanks again. Your help has been wonderful. I'll keep listening, and if you have a suggestion on how to solve my flaky boot problem, I'd love to hear it. Sincerely, Annie S.
I hate when my boots get flaky.
Yeah, exactly. Having taken a look at the forum post over at Ubuntu Forums that Annie posted there, and this is back in February now, so it's about a month ago. She writes that she's brand new to Linux, describes her problem. Someone recommends a couple of options here about dual booting. Really didn't solve the problem. Type in some commands and get take a look at the system logs and post the log into the forum, which is kind of what I was talking about earlier, which Annie does. And the log actually goes through quite a bit of the things that are possibly causing some issues. So it's a very long list of everything that happened when she booted up. And it comes down to, we think it's a hardware issue. So one of the suggestions that I had for Annie is that she take a look at some of the hardware possibilities that could cause flaky booting on any computer, Linux or anything else. Mm-hmm. So especially the Presario model that she had, I gave her a link to some issues around the wireless card that I know could cause some booting issues. Another issue that you might find, and I don't think I mentioned this in my post to her, was that sometimes if you install a video driver that isn't really compatible with your hardware, that could cause your computer not to boot because it's trying to load a driver that just doesn't work. Hmm. And video is one of those things that can make a computer very flaky if anything goes wrong with it, both with the hardware and with the driver itself.
Yeah.
And there are ways to uninstall a driver from the command line, but they're not pretty, and it's not something that a new Linux user wants to do. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, then what I would recommend is reinstall, since it's probably a fresh install that you did anyway, rather than try to mess with the video driver. But it could be the RAM, could be some RAM gone bad, and that might cause it to run slow or even not boot at all. Could be the battery, the CMOS battery, the little battery, the little watch side.
Oh, yes. Battery. Yeah, yeah.
That could cause it not to boot. Mm-hmm. The clock being wrong wouldn't cause it to not boot. It would cause it other issues.
Just the wrong time.
There are a number of different things, but it's probably a hardware thing.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, hopefully, maybe she'll figure it out. You know.
I haven't heard back from her, so. Okay.
Well, she's only at show 38, so she's got a ways
to go. Yeah, she's got a little ways to go. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Our next email.
Gomez.
Is from Gomez Adams. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether it's that Gomez Adams from the Adams family, but he has a suggestion for the caller that had called in last time and the time before, over the past couple of months, Charlie.
Yes.
Remember, he was having a problem with his clock.
I remember that.
Dual booting Windows and Linux. And
yep.
On they were like 2 or 3 hours off, depending on which way he went. So,
I remember that.
So Gomez has a suggestion here. He says, "Hi LT&B, I am a first time writer, but I've been listening since last year, and I've listened to all your episodes. Maybe not with perfect attention, but mostly.
Okay.
Again, somebody who's gone back to episode one. Uh-huh. And I believe your show is at least partly to blame for me adopting Linux last year. I found myself using and only being comfortable with XP, which supposedly has security updates until 2014. But Microsoft doesn't seem too concerned about actively keeping it updated. No Service Pack 4, no Internet Explorer 9, etc. Yeah. I don't like Vista or Windows 7, so I was rather determined to find something better or at least different. Linux also has lots of problems, but if I'm going to have problems, I'd rather have them for free and also use open source, accountable software. I'm currently using Linux Mint, Debian Edition, but I'm likely to jump ship if they don't release an update pack soon. Mm-hmm. Even if they don't fix all the problems, it would at least show they haven't abandoned it. We'll have to continue this after we come back.
Okay.
Because it's a rather long email.
Yes, it is, and we'll do it. So we'll continue on with Gomez, and we'll put a little red marker there. Thank you, Ben. And we'll continue on right after that. This is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network. Larry Bushy continues on with us. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We are right in the middle of an email from Gomez Adams. So please, Larry, continue.
Yes.
Okay. So Gomez was talking about getting patches on Windows and getting updates on his Linux Mint. He says Clem, the author of Linux Mint, is collecting feedback on an update pack number 4. So Gomez says that he is hopeful. At some point, he says, I intend to go through the Linux from Scratch book. Do you guys know what that is?
I have no idea.
Well, obviously, it's someone starting at the beginning. That's what it's about.
Yeah. So what this is it's a Linux distribution that comes in a book.
Hmm.
In other words, you can take a computer with download the Linux kernel. Of course, you have to have an operating computer to be able to do that. But once you have done that, you can build a Linux computer from scratch using the text files that are in this book. So if you didn't believe that Linux and Unix are text-based operating systems, everything is a text file, this proves it. So
so for some of our younger listeners, what is this book you speak of?
It's some archived dead trees.
Oh,
with, black, usually black liquid, ink.
So it's like the internet on a dead tree.
That's right.
Yes, exactly.
Perfect.
Except it's not searchable.
Oh,
you can't do Control F and find. Let's continue on with the email. Email from Gomez. Okay, so he continues, after Karim's call, so Karim called the voicemail line, that's what I'm trying to think of, and no, it's not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, it's another Kareem. After his call, I wanted to comment on Charlie's problem with the UTC, Universal Time something. What's the C stand for? Zulu time or
sometime.
Yeah, sometime versus local time problem. Yeah. I'm not sure what version of Windows Charlie was using, but this should be addressable without hacks like turning time updates on or off or just looking at the wrong time. On Windows 7 and Vista SP2, you can simply use a simple registry value to alert the system that the machine clock uses UTC, universal time. This is preferable to changing the analogous Linux setting in the /etc/default/rcs, because Linux goes about this the right way by default and Windows doesn't. See details at, and he provides a link. And provides a second link, or any number of other links, he says. when I hear the words Windows registry in a sentence, that just makes my skin crawl. It's not something that's simple.
By the way,
anyway,
UTC is the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga.
Yes.
Or it could also be a coordinated universal time. You would think that's the C comes first, though, but for some reason it's universal time coordinated. Go figure.
Okay. All right. Well, Yeah.
I like university better.
we've only got a couple more paragraphs. Gomez's email. Yeah. Maybe we'll get there before the next break.
Yes.
From what I've read, the registry value has been there since Windows NT, but wasn't properly implemented until recent times. Mm-hmm. I never run into the issue personally because I've been setting all my clocks to use UTC for the last several years. Mm. I'm not sure whether he means clocks in his house, which would mean, you know, you've got to do the mental math if he's not living in London, mm-hmm. for example. He would have to, you know, make the mental adjustment. Mm-hmm. So having his clocks set to UTC might be a problem. But I digress. I'm just so sick of all the daylight saving nonsense and other complications and confusions with local versus UTC, such as FAT32 timestamps. Thanks for your show. I really appreciate your efforts at making Linux accessible and appealing to the average person. Also, I appreciate your commitment to civility and politeness, even when not subject to FCC broadcast regulations. Keep up the good work. Sincerely, your friendly neighborhood unemployed billionaire, Gomez Adams.
There you go.
Maybe it is the same Gomez Adams.
It could be, exactly. By the way, Jack Death in the chat room said that when we were playing the Miley Cyrus song, it actually caused his radio stream to crash, and he wasn't kidding. So his browser crashed, basically. He had to restart it. So, you know, stranger things have happened.
Yes, well. Oh, by the way, Gomez mentioned the family friendly or commitment to civility and politeness in our podcast.
Like we have here.
Yes, exactly. Well, you are FCC regulated, which a podcast isn't. So we could easily swear up a blue streak on the podcast, but we don't because we want to keep it family friendly.
And, there you go.
Figure that's the best way to handle things.
And you should be applauded for it.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Nico has returned, evidently.
Yes, Nico wrote back again about some freezing problems and some MP3 issues.
Freezing in Finland? Okay.
Yeah. I guess who knew?
Oh, no. All right.
So, let's see if we can make it through this one without too many digressions.
All right.
Hello again. I'm sorry to bother you so soon after my last message, but I have two more questions. In January 2012, I installed Kubuntu 11.04. That's the KDE version of Ubuntu. Mm-hmm. And a few days later, I updated it to 11.10. Why the discrepancy in the numbering system? Mm-hmm. Because they number them for the year, mm-hmm. and then a dot, and then the month they were released.
Got it.
10.04
okay.
is April of 2011, and the other one was October of 2011.
Yes. You're right.
Soon after I started to have some trouble, my system would randomly just totally freeze so that I could move the mouse cursor, but couldn't do anything else. Keyboard wouldn't work, and even the caps lock didn't turn on when I pushed the button. The only way to get out of these freezes was to boot the computer from the power switch, which is not a very good thing to do. I tried all kinds of tricks to get out of those freezes, pushing Control-Alt-F1 to get to the command line, and then trying to shut down the computer from there, Control-Alt-Backspace to shut down X, which X is the windowing system on Linux. Mm. Alt, print screen, and K to kill X. He's trying all
He's
different
trying
commands.
Yeah, yeah.
Alt, print screen, and then pushing R, E, I, S, U, B. And that's a series of commands, actually, that reboots your computer, forces your computer to reboot if you're running Linux. And, well, I can't even remember what that was supposed to do, but nothing worked, he said. As the random freezes seemed to get more and more frequent, I decided to try another distribution. I installed Magia 1, and everything seemed to work fine at first, but so far I have had two freezes on this one also. So problem not solved. I have tried to find some answers from a few Linux forums, but really haven't found out much. What I found out is that a similar thing happened to some users of at least Ubuntu, Gentoo, and Fedora. And the answers varied so much that I got nothing out of it. Nobody seemed to know anything for sure, and it was all guessing. So my first question is, have you got any ideas what could be causing the random freezes and what I can do about it?
I have some.
Okay. My other question is this. As I have told you, I have listened to some old episodes of your podcast. I have downloaded the MP3 files to my computer and have burned them to a CD as a data CD. Well, last night I listened to episode 36 on my VLC player, and something weird happened. The VLC player clock that shows the total time of the file would just move around from 1 hour and 20 minutes down to 50 minutes and back up again. We'll solve this puzzle after we come back.
Okay, and we'll do that. I have an idea about the first part of Nico's problem. And maybe when we come back, we can do that and then continue on, okay? This is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network. Stay with us. 866-606-TALK. If you want to give us a call. Welcome back to the Computer America Show. Larry Bushy continues on with us, and we're kind of finishing up Nico's email. We don't have much time. I'd like to at least address the first part of her problem, which is the random freezes. Did you have an idea before I begin with mine?
No, you go ahead. It's kind of a repeat of what I said before.
Okay. Because, you know, random freezes, I've seen this happen I'm curious to know if this is happening, if she would run any other operating system and the random freezes, because if it my first bet is that if it is, I'm thinking it's a power supply in the computer that's beginning to die. A fading power supply will cause that kind of problem to happen. The system will all suddenly just reboot. It will randomly freeze. It could, you know, bad memory can also cause a similar problem. But usually memory, it's the same kind of thing. If she's getting different, Nico's getting random freezes at different times, I would say to check out the power supply. And that would be my first suggestion, because that's typical what happens when a power supply starts going bad. These random flaky things begin to happen. So that would be my suggestion. Okay.
Yeah, good point. I was going to suggest a hardware issue, and I was going to suggest looking at the RAM. The power supply is something that I hadn't thought about, but it's quite possible.
Yeah, a lot of people don't, and they go to memory first, and you can run memory tests and everything, but. I'm thinking this sounds really a lot like the power supply, so I would check into that as well, Nico. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so Nico continues on with the MP3 file problem. Mm-hmm. So it was causing the VLC player on her computer to look at the file and say, oh, we're at an hour and 20 minutes. Oh, wait, no, we're at 50 minutes, and then skip back to an hour and 20 minutes. So continuing on, what I mean is that it just could not seem to find out how long the file was. So I tried it on Amarok, another audio player on Linux, and said the total time of the episode was somewhere around an hour and 45 minutes. And when I listened to the episode on my MP3 player, the machine, not a program on my computer, it seemed that the length of the particular episode is 57 minutes.
That's what it should be, yeah.
Yeah, what's going on? I also noticed episode 37 had a similar problem, but I've not noticed such a thing in other episodes I've listened to. Could this be due to the file on archive.org, which is where we host our files, being somehow corrupted, or is it just that something has happened while I downloaded the files or when I burned them to CD? So anyways, those were my two questions, and I hope that you can find time to answer them. I would greatly appreciate it. Thanks already, and thank you for the great podcast, even if you don't have time to answer my silly questions, Nico.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So with the MP3 file, I tried downloading them again myself, and they played just fine. So I'm thinking if it's not related to the other problems that you're having with your computer, that's always a possibility, then perhaps something got corrupted during the download of those two files. That's a possibility.
Yes, it is.
So I would try downloading the, you know, fresh copies of those and see if that fixes the problem. Mm-hmm. And if not, let me know by email and I'll email you copies of those.
There you go.
I'll send them as attachments if we have to.
Exactly. I don't know if we have time for Richard's problem here.
Probably not.
No. So tell us a little bit about what's coming up on the next Going Linux podcast.
Okay, well, we have an episode coming up about 32-bit versus 64-bit and some of the deciding factors that go into that.
Uh-huh.
And that's our next episode. And, of course, every other episode we have is a listener feedback episode. So that's coming up at the beginning of next month, another listener feedback episode where we answer more of these questions and get voicemails and answer those as well. We like voicemails because then we don't have to spend the time reading them and we get the questions with the inflection that the listener wants to give them.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Those are the next two episodes coming up. And, of course, we rebroadcast my appearances here on Computer America. And you can find them not only on the Computer America website and on iTunes, but you can find them as episodes on the Going Linux podcast.
Right. And if you click the links button, we have a link to the Going Linux podcast here at the Computer America website as well.
Right.
So now next month, have you picked a topic yet? Can we kind of tease it or you haven't picked one yet?
No, I don't pick them that early. And if you have any suggestions,
okay.
I would be very happy to entertain suggestions from you and or any of our listeners,
sure,
on topics you'd like me to cover.
That's right. Anything you want to know about Linux, Larry? You know, it's interesting because we talked about tech support. My son Aaron had a problem with Linux, and I said, I know the best tech support. I have Larry's home phone number.
And I took the call.
Yes, you did. You took the
which
call.
Which we will be giving away on the website. You have your own show notes.
No. Hey, Larry, listen, it's always a pleasure having you here on the show, and certainly look forward to next month having you on again. And thank you so much for being with us here tonight and sharing all of your Linux knowledge with our listeners, okay?
Okay. Thanks for having me on.
Larry, take care. Have a good evening. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.